Hi, this is Herb Montgomery with Renewed Heart Ministries, and I'll welcome you to this week's weekly podcast. This week, we're going to be looking at Luke 6, 17 through 26. It's a large chunk of verses, so try not to lose focus as I read this. It says, "He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by evil spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, 'Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you or reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven, for that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets.'" My two daughters and I are presently going through the teachings of Jesus every morning as I drive them to school, and I absolutely love hearing their thoughts. I like to hear them openly sharing what Jesus must have meant back then in the culture of his day, as well as what he could mean, how we could apply that to our culture today. Both my daughters go to our local public schools, and it's just a real joy every morning to let loose little Jesuses onto a hurting world, and I just can't help but be proud of them. This week, I want to share with you some thoughts that I gleaned from them, and I think they'll be a blessing to you just as much as they were to me. Again, we've been looking at Jesus' Sermon on the Plain here in Luke 6, and what we've decided is that the good news of the kingdom, just like we looked at the last two e-sites from Mark, it wasn't good news to everyone. And I want to explain what I mean by that. In this passage, Jesus is uttering both blessings and woes. And when you look at the two groups that Jesus contrasts, what you begin to see, if you understand the contrast, is that these two groups are the religious of his day versus those whom the religious of his day have marginalized. And what I mean by that is, and this is the group, you look at it carefully, he contrasts the poor, the hungry, the weepers, the hated, the excluded, the insulted, versus the rich, the well-fed, the laughers, those who are spoken well of. According to Deuteronomy 28, as I've mentioned before, if you obey, then God will bless you. If you disobey, then God will punish you. The rich, the well-fed, those who live lives filled with laughter, they were viewed as being so because they were blessed by God, because they were righteous. These people were well spoken of. Remember, this was a culture based on a very deeply misunderstood worldview based on Deuteronomy 28. Now, on the other hand, those who were poor, hungry, or mourning, remember, they were not looked at as less fortunate. They were looked upon as morally inferior. They were sinners. In their worldview, they were being punished by God because they were sinners, and therefore they were hated, they were excluded, they were insulted. These were not, once again, looked on as less fortunate, in need of compassion and help. Rather, those that were morally inferior, in Jesus' day, the religious looked at them as people that they were morally superior to. Here, Jesus has turned the old order of things on its head in this Sermon on the Plain in Luke 6. He's challenged people's preconceived pictures of God, what God's kingdom is really all about, and he's challenged their boxed-in opinions that people have about what type of a being God is. He's portrayed God in a way that is completely and utterly outside of their boxes. For those who are poor, hungry, heartbroken, hated, excluded, and insulted, the coming of Jesus and his kingdom was going to be for them, and this was good news. It was going to be a benefit to them. But to those who were rich, they were going to be called to share with those they felt to be sinners. Those who were well fed would be called to feed those whom they felt to be morally inferior. those whose life was filled with laughter and celebration would be confronted with their judgment and their condemnation of those they were now called to weep with. And those that were spoken well of would have to disregard the value that they placed on people's opinions of them, as they too would now be called to eat with tax collectors and sinners. Now remember again, these woes were not words of condemnation. Jesus realized who it would be that would reject him, who it would be that would reject his new kingdom. He was lamenting their condition, not judging them. There's nothing wrong with being rich, having food to eat, and a life filled with laughter. Jesus wasn't condemning people with those things. He was simply lamenting that they were going to be the ones hardest hit by the kingdom he had come to establish. His heart was breaking for those who had misunderstood what Deuteronomy 28 was all about. And they would not understand. They would reject him, and they would claim his teachings to be too radical and dangerous. He was challenging the status quo. He was challenging the way things had always been, and they would not tolerate that. From the very beginning, Jesus stood in the shadow of the cross. He knew full well that the God he had come to demonstrate to us, that this picture of God would get him killed. He goes through with it anyway, lamenting all along those who are his enemies. And we'll talk about that more in Luke 6 next week. But all this leads me to my central point. If God looks like Jesus, then it really does change everything for us today, just as much as it did back then. Ultimately, it means that if any are lost in the end, if any are tossed out, as Jesus called it, in the end, it'll be because they've rejected God's love for others. This applies even for those who we deem are not living or believing the way we think they should. In reality, this is a rejection of God's unconditional love for us too. In John 13:34, Jesus said, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another." When Jesus said new, I think he meant it. It was new because they had never, even through Moses, been taught to love the way that Jesus was teaching them. It was all rooted and grounded in a radically different picture of God than what they'd gotten through Moses and Elijah. In John 17:1-8, the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God, is in closest relationship with the Father, he has made him known. And when Jesus said new, again, I really do believe he meant it. He presented a God who, contrary to everything they had been taught, he didn't look at them as transgressors deserving punishment, contrary to the religion of both Jesus' day and ours. But he looked at them as victims who had been deceived and taken captive and were in need of a Savior. He taught us to see others as well as ourselves the way that God sees us. He revealed a God whose love is not only unconditional and indiscriminatory, but most importantly, non-condemning. This was a God whose justice was restorative rather than retributive. A God who, rather than demanding the death of his enemies, would rather die at their hands to set them free. The religiously superior, both in Jesus' day and ours, will always have objections to this way of viewing God. It's dangerous, they say, and they will crucify it every time if they can. Those who are poor, hungry, heartbroken, hated, insulted, judged, condemned, pushed down, and marginalized, well, they're the ones that get it. Nothing destroys one's empathy for others more completely than seeing them as hellbound, so to speak, or under the judgment of God. Jesus would challenge their most cherished assumptions about God. It was a time of deep upheaval for people religiously. The kingdom Jesus had come to establish would be filled with paradigm shift after paradigm shift concerning God, themselves, and others. And it would not be a time of peace for some, but a time of deep questioning and change, again, as everything was being turned on its head. John the Baptist, in Matthew 3, in warning the religious leaders of his day who showed up to the Jordan, he referred to this powder keg, as some have called it, that Jesus was about to light. He calls all of this change the wrath to come. Again, Jesus would challenge their most cherished beliefs, and I believe the risen Jesus is still doing that very same thing today. This week in your heart groups, number one, go back and prayerfully and thoughtfully read through Matthew 5:1-11 and Luke 6:17-26. Number two, take some time and just write down how Jesus has changed your own preconceived pictures of God, yourself, and others since the time you began following him. And number three, share at least one of the most significant changes that Jesus has brought to your picture of God with the group this week. As always, keep living in love, loving like Christ, enlarging the kingdom, till a world where love reigns is the only world that remains, just like the mustard seed in Luke 13, 18 through 19. I love you guys. I'll see you next week. Thank you.